Well, good morning. Today is Monday, April the 5th, and after basically 30 years, 30 years now, yesterday was my first year that I did not get a chance to speak or to preach, and as I didn't get to, but more than getting, it was kind of a privilege. I really enjoyed it, and for the last 30 years I've been privileged to preach and to teach the Bible and on a Resurrection Sunday. And to think about yesterday, I had the privilege to just be with my family and enjoyed the celebration. Although I did speak on Friday, we did a good Friday service, and that was a lot of fun to co-teach and co-preach with my brother Rolando and my brother Victor, which huge shout out to Victor. I do hope and you feel better soon, brother. Let's keep him in prayer, Victor Rodriguez, as he is facing COVID. It was an exciting weekend, and yet being able just to sit down with my family and enjoy the service and enjoy the community of men and women that for basically 2,000 years we've been preaching and teaching this message. And I'm sitting there and I'm thinking to myself, this is an amazing opportunity. And many of you obviously know, and all of you know, that part of it is just the fact that we were able to gather together a year ago. Most of us, if not all of us, we were preaching into cameras, empty buildings. So the fact that we were able to come back and enjoy ourselves and focus on the reason, the object of the worship, the celebration of Jesus, it was just an amazing thing. So it was a special day, and yet today is Monday, is the day after. And the day after, as I was sitting there yesterday, I'm thinking and I'm rehearsing in my mind, okay, so here is the epicenter of the Christian faith. Here is why Christianity is Christianity. It is the event that goes beyond our generation and has been, once again, the reason why we believe that Jesus is Lord, because of his conquering of death. And again, you see people preaching all over the place yesterday, although I didn't get a chance to preach, but it was just an amazing thing to see people preach all over the place and to hear the gospel presentation. The question that I was asking myself yesterday, and that's the question that I wanted to kind of wrestle with this morning. Okay, so now that is in the past, now that it has become another event, and I said another event because I don't believe it's just a holiday, but it's literally, again, the epicenter of our faith, the epicenter of the reason why we are here. The question now is, what does that mean on a Monday? What will that mean or reflect on a Tuesday? And waking up to almost every day, if not every day, to news and to situations that are a little challenging. And I say challenging because they are challenging today. Definitely it's a time for us to reflect, you know, on what does Sunday morning or Sunday, Resurrection Sunday means and translates into the quote-unquote mundane, you know, weekday. And as we wake up, and Aussie, hey, good to see you, brother. I see you. Hermana Luna, God bless you. God bless you guys. Thank you for joining. The question is, what does that mean, and how does that translate, you know, into our daily lives? And again, when I see how life and culture is moving and is reflecting and is translating some of the things that are happening, some of you may know this, but waking up to the reality of an important and major city in our countries such as the city of Atlanta, and just the controversial, undeniable reality of taking the All-Star game for the MLB, the baseball, professional baseball, into a different city because of all this restructuring and rechanging things. Here's my point, and this is what I want us to give maybe dialogue for a few minutes. It has to do with the reality of the changes that we're facing. And those changes are, again, undeniable. They are reality. And changes in our culture, like every generation, they're like technology. They're here to stay. I don't think we're gonna ever go back to life as it used to be, whether it's politically or emotionally or family nucleus or sociologically. I mean, you name it. But here's the challenge, because again, I'm thinking of 2,000 years ago. I'm thinking of what happened yesterday, over the weekend, you know, Resurrection Sunday, Good Friday, the reality of a risen Christ, the empty tomb. What does that mean? And here's what I think should or could or would mean for you and I on a Monday morning. I believe that the undeniable, the everlasting, the unchangeable and unmutable event of the resurrection should have the ability to take the fragmentation, the unstoppable, and the constant changing of our times and maybe financial situation, maybe relational, maybe some of us were going through some changes relationally, whatever the case may be. And it may be a positive change, maybe something that we did not ask for. Whatever the case may be, I think the resurrection, what it does, it gives you the ability to take all this fragmentation, all of this, again, reality, and then utilize those changes without approving them. Because I'm not saying that everything goes. I'm not a universalist. I don't believe that there's, you know, kind of a just truth, make of truth whatever you want. And no. I'm speaking of just the reality of life, whether it's self-imposed experiences, whether it's something that was brought by something else or someone else. How do we take all those things? And I think the resurrection is what gives you the ability to take all of that and allows you to come back to the unchangeable truths of such an experience as the resurrection. So again, because the conversation is something that, whether you like it or not, I will have over the situations, over the changes that are taking place. And again, some of us are very sports driven. I love sports. Tonight, actually, is the final game for the Baylor Bears. Our daughter is at Baylor, so we're very, very excited to see Baylor and play for the national championship in college basketball. Last night was the girls' basketball also championship. And again, sports is all over the place, right? So speaking of sports and thinking about the MLB, I'm talking about the Major League Baseball, professional baseball. How do we take all of this and again, utilize it as traction versus friction? Well, in my mind, again, I'm sitting in the service yesterday. I'm listening, I'm experiencing the resurrection. There was a play, Easter play, and it was just emotional. It was powerful. It was beautiful. And in my mind, I'm rehearsing, and I'm thinking to myself, okay, so you get the reality of a Monday. For some of us, this may be a week or a season of life where April, the month of April, it may be a challenging month, whatever we might find ourselves. I'm thinking, okay, so how did the people of God navigate life change transitions, for that matter? And in my mind, I went back to the book of Deuteronomy. And Deuteronomy, which is one of those core, I guess, foundational books of the Old Testament, I was reminded that the guy that we celebrated yesterday, the guy that came out of the graveside, the guy that we proclaim and sing to and worship, his name is Jesus. His Bible was exactly the book of Deuteronomy and the rest of the Old Testament. So I had to come back and say, okay, so how did Jesus face whatever Jesus did in the middle of changes and difficulties? And obviously that was the word passion, you know, the passion of Jesus definitely is a reminder that passion, what it really means is suffering. So how did Jesus face all of that? He went into the scriptures. He went into what he knew and what he understood of the scriptures, which in this case is the Old Testament. And within the Old Testament, the book of Deuteronomy plays a major role because that is one of the books in the entire Old Testament writings that presents, again, the essence, the core of the theology and the doctrine of, again, of the worldview of the Bible. So, again, thinking about the Old Testament and thinking about how Jesus faced some of these things, I went back into this major transition that Moses, because it's attributed to Moses, the writings of this book, Moses is basically launching into a series of sermons, into a series of teachings. And it's no accident that we believe chronologically that Moses is at the end of the journey. Moses is coming to an end, because we understand that after 40 years of, again, just navigating and going through a lot of changes in the wilderness, and in that context is Moses, where he speaks to a brand new generation, a younger generation, the generation that was born in the wilderness. And not only that, but he's speaking to the generation that will have the privilege to experience the fulfillment of the promise given to Abraham back in the book of Genesis, which is the possession of real estate of the promised land. And the question is, how did Moses help them to navigate these changes? Because I'm going to just go back to this. I'm sitting at the service yesterday. We're worshiping as a family. And we are proclaiming, we are exalting the unchangeable truth of the resurrection of Jesus that has nothing to do with whether we believe it or not. It's a fact. Jesus is alive. The question is, what does that mean? If this is the unmutable reality, doctrinal issue, statement that God proclaimed before the foundations of the world, that he was going to redeem, he was going to exercise his original plan of redemption through the seed of the woman. We speak of Jesus as the focal reason and the center of the epicenter of everything that we have said. What does that mean on a Monday? What does that mean on, again, this constant changes that we're facing? And I'm reminded that this is exactly how Moses is going to navigate this on a generation that is coming. Again, Moses' audience is coming from a lot of changes. It's coming from, I will argue, that being born in the wilderness through this season of just, again, going in circles, probably what they have never experienced is stability. It's change after change after change, dependent on the climate, dependent on God's provision and intervention on whether it's food, whether it's shelter, whether it's, I mean, you name it, through 40 years of wilderness. Now they're fixing to go into more, quote unquote, stable, from nomadic into a settlement of agricultural life. And Moses has to make sure that as they experience the change and they experience the fulfillment of the promise, as they transition on leadership, because Moses knew that he wasn't going to enter the land, Moses knew that the associate pastor was about to take charge, speaking of Joshua. All these changes, Moses reminds them that the main thing must remain as the main thing. And I'm going to say it again. What does that mean for us? Because it's Monday, and again, we woke up to a lot of changes. It is a different day. And maybe for some of us, the challenge is exactly that. Maybe we're waking up to just another day, another Monday, going to work, or, you know, connecting to go to school, or going to school, whatever the case may be. How do we keep the main thing, the main thing? And that's exactly where I believe Moses allows us to do this. So this is Deuteronomy chapter 6, beginning in verse 1. Now, this is the commandment, Moses says, the statutes, I'm reading from Deuteronomy 6:1, and the judgment which the Lord, again, using that personal name, the Lord, your God, has commanded. And the commandment is for me, or it was given to me, commanded me, to teach you. So this is where I really believe, again, just in my mind, being able to sit under the teaching, under the leadership, joining the community of men and women across human history on a celebration, on a Resurrection Sunday. For me, it was the privilege to be taught, to be in a position to receive, to embrace. And I'm saying this because, again, for the last 30 years, I've been preaching on Resurrection Sundays. That's what we do. I mean, that is the main, again, the main celebration, right, for the church, for Christianity. And I was able to, I mean, I'm just reminded because he says, you know, God gave me these commandments to teach you. So it's implying that mindset of teachability, I guess, if you could begin this Monday with the understanding of being introduced, to be shaped, to be molded into that, and then he gives you the reason why. So that you, and the you obviously is plural, right? He's speaking to the entire generation, so that you may do them. So you're learning to do. I'm presenting this. You are embracing You may have maybe an idea what this is, but now I'm going to teach it to you, and I'm going to teach it to you for the purpose not just to accumulate knowledge or experiences, but it's actually to do it. And here's the reason why you need to do them, meaning the commands, in the land where you are going over to take this possession of it, so that you, once again, you, your son and your grandson will fear the Lord. Now, this is the beauty of the conversation, to fear the Lord your God and to keep all his statutes and his commandments, which I command you all the days of your life, and that your days may be prolonged. On verse 3, he says, now Israel, you shall listen, once again, listen to be careful to do. So you listen to do, right? You listen to do. You don't listen to just accumulate more knowledge, but you listen to do them so that it may go well for you and that you may increase greatly. This concept of things going well or increments or increasing, you know, is reflected as he says, just as the Lord, the God of your fathers, has promised you in a land flowing with milk and honey. It's obviously that Jesus or Moses were no prosperity gospel preachers. So they're not speaking of the absence of challenges, because if anything is going to be at the promised land, it's a lot of challenges. But it's the understanding that, once again, just like a Monday, right? Reflecting on a Sunday, that Monday, as fragmented, as challenging, or as beautiful, whatever the case may be, it may be that become the vehicle that is being utilized to experience the Sunday transcendent reality of a resurrected Christ. So in other words, the resurrection of Jesus or Moses' words and speaking to the people of God, they did not depend on circumstances. We do not deny the reality of a Monday. We do not deny the reality of whatever we're facing, but they must become the vehicle, the stage to experience, again, the increasing, the wellness, because again, the wellness and the increasing is not the absence of scarcity. It's not the absence of challenges. It's simply the reality that God has no limit. God does not depend on circumstances. And then he goes and goes into this very famous, again, Shema, or the teaching of the centrality of God here. Verse 4, hear Israel, the Lord our God is one. The Lord is one. So again, if we can come back into this Monday and remind ourselves that this is the centrality, that the God of the Bible is one. You're coming from your generation, Moses speaking to the people, from 400 years of idolatry and again, just a lot of God and goddesses and the worshiping of deities, meaning in Egypt. And now you're moving into the land that is about to be possessed. And it has to do a lot with a lot of idolatry as well. So let's keep the main thing. There is only one God. There is only one God. And we can just remember, you know, when we speak of this weekend of Resurrection Sunday, it is a reflection that there is only one God, right? It is the second person of the Trinity that came out of the graveside, but it was the first person of the Trinity, the Father, through the third person of the Trinity that creates and just the orchestration of this beautiful experience, that salvation is a result of, again, of the one God. So verse 4 says, hear, O Israel. Here's the point. You need to hear so you can do. You need to hear so you can connect with ethics and decision-making and worldview. There is only one God, and this is what he means. Verse 5, and you shall love, because there's one, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all of your strength. In other words, you got to be reminded that you were created in my image, because I'm one God. I'm the God, I'm the only God, and you were created in my image. You were created to be related to me. And this is why it is the concept of the oneness, in a sense of, again, understanding that there is the heart, the soul, the strength. I don't have time to go into those details on the reflection of all of them, but at the bottom of the conversation is understanding that we're reflecting. Not only we were created for him, but we're reflecting him. Verse 6, these words, again, the Shema, the commandments, the law. See, this word, this sermon that I'm about to give you, this is chapter 6 of Deuteronomy. So he's launching into, you know, this amazing series of sermons. Moses is, which I am commanding you today, shall be on your heart. So again, just the holistic understanding that we do not have a soul. We are a soul, right? This weekend we had a funeral. One of these beautiful ladies, close family to us from church, and just to celebrate life in the context of grief is an understanding of the holistic view that we get to live forever. So that's the understanding that Moses is, again, reintroducing, or maybe introducing for the first time to this generation, this worldview of the Old Testament. And you shall repeat them diligently to your sons. You should repeat them and speak to them when you sit in your house, when you walk on the road, and when you lay down, and when you get up. Verse 8, and you shall also tie them. He's given the specific instruction. Right? Tie them as a sign to your hand, and they shall be as frontals on your forehead. So again, you can only reproduce. I can only reproduce exactly who I am, not just what I know. And when it comes to the concept of repeating them and teaching them and rehearsing them and tying them, and he uses the concept of speaking and again, just this understanding that you can only teach not just what you know, but who you are. So we begin speaking of teachability. So teachable parents definitely create teachable environments for teachable children, that eventually this concept of prosperity is based precisely on a generation that is not only fearful of the Lord, that understand there is only one God, but that reflects on how much we depend and we are taught by that one God. At the end, he basically says, you shall also write them on the doorposts of your house and on your gates. Well, again, I am reminded this morning that writing in this time in human history was not as common as it is today. And when I think of Moses reminding them that they need to write this down, is the understanding that this is God speaking through Moses. This is not just the next trend. This is not just the next idea or the next whatever you might want to call it. This is God speaking through Moses. The reality that he is one. The reality that we are called to fear him. The reality that the connection of the certainty of a Sunday celebration from yesterday, the resurrected Christ, is reflected on a Monday. That hopefully on a Monday, we might be the generation that we are able to articulate, to convey, to write it, to pass it on, to teach one another the centrality of Sunday, the centrality of the risen Christ. Hopefully we're not the generation, we are not the generation that simply celebrated but then has no ability to connect it or to articulate it into, again, the challenges of a Monday or Tuesday or Wednesday or whatever the case may be. Hopefully you have a great, great rest of this week, and may the Lord, the risen Christ, once again, impact, help us to translate and to navigate the reality of a Monday. May the Lord bless you.